Today, I have the pleasure of hosting Bobby Kang, an Indian American entrepreneur and investor, the founder of US Cargo Express Solutions and one of the largest steel manufacturing companies in the US. Pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It's my pleasure.
So, could you please tell us about your entrepreneurial journey? How did you start your first businesses and end up in the steel manufacturing and cargo industries?
It is a long story, but we keep it a little short. I was 19 years old when I left home from India to US. And I went there with the mindset of doing business. But I come from a farming family, very middle class family, where we didn't have the means to do business, or I had to take over the family business, which is farming, small farm. But I had a different mindset, so I went to US when I was 19, and I studied there. I did my accounting degree, and that gave me some skills of numbers, and I understand how to read business, analyze their numbers, and how to do it. So I started. First business I started as just as a truck driver. I went and got a commercial license, and drove truck for 2.5 years. Why I did that? It's not because I wanted to be the truck driver, because I wanted to go out on the road and see what truck drivers or the truck business feels like on the road. So once I went on the road, every shipper I went to pick up the load, every receiver I dropped the load, I collected data. I collected people information, who's in charge of giving out loads or not. So after 2.5 years, we started with two trucks, and we've grown that company into $600 million company now. We run 2,500 trucks. That's my first venture I did, successfully, and then many more. Beside that was another thing we did was steel business. I didn't know nothing about steel. My experience was logistic, trucking, logistic, warehousing. So the opportunity came from India. The government of India had a very special programs for foreign investments. So that's another thing I would like to emphasize is why country grows, because those countries' leaders or their country's governments come up with a special program so people from outside can come in and make investment. So the Indian government had a very good program. They say if you invest $200 million or $300 million, the 18% tax, 9% of that, we will keep it till we recover our money. So it's like we're making a business, we're getting our investment guarantee back from the government, and we are growing the business. So I study steel before I started. So the first plant I put in India, the whole plant was under my supervision. Every brick, every block, every bolt, every nut has been done in my presence. I left home for 4 years and I stayed in India 4 years. I left the US and I only go for 1 month. 11 months I will stay out there. And that brand is called Prabal TMT. We make rebars. In Armenian, you guys call it armatura.
Yes.
So we started with one plant and now we have three plant. And that company net worth is about $200-300 million right now too. And we are planning to go IPO probably next year or following years. And then I'm in the hospitality business. I build hotels, I build shopping centers, I build something in my imaginations, creations like Hakub did here. I could never imagine that he could done it. I visited him 1 month, so very congratulations to him and his whole team. Job very well done. And the hospitality business is something I did it on the side as an investment. So we own Marriott, Holiday Inns, Home2, the brand name only, hotels in US. So those are my businesses. And now I'm in Armenia and I'm building a steel factory here. We started in Yerask, but unfortunately some shooting happens, and now we're still waiting to see what the next move is, you know, to finish the project. But I'm still here.
Very interesting. So you mentioned that one factor that affects your choice of industry is looking into what different initiatives there are provided by the government in the country that could contribute to the business. Are there other general guidelines for how you select ideas that will eventually turn into projects that you get involved in?
Yes. Sorry, I forgot to mention one startup I invested in. It's called Almambe. It's educational software. It's like a management and placement system, mm-hmm. management, placement, and alumni's connection with the existing students. So we build the whole package. I was the major investor on it. I invested 2 years ago, and the company is about $200 million worth now. It's called Alma Bay, and very interested. That's why I come to these places to collect ideas and invest in it. And to answer your question about the procedures, yeah, of course, we have to follow all the procedures. We have to get the environmental clearance. We have to go through the normal processes. But the government does give a lot of help to create employment, mm-hmm. and to create business in their countries. Mm-hmm. That's the general idea of the government's. They have special programs and special people whose jobs are to create these ideas. Like here, people are here pitching for their ideas. Mm-hmm. So similarly, governments also see that what can be brought in here in their country, how we can get the investor, how we can give them something benefit so they can be interested to come here and do investments.
Mr. Kang, how do you define leadership? And is that definition different in the context of a startup or a small business?
So they are both related, because startup is a start. Mm-hmm. Because that's where you start and develop the skills to be the leader. See, the real leader is who keeps the team together and keep them motivated. It's like fighting, like fighting a war. You know, the general, he didn't become general just out of the blue. He went from the bottom, one step up, one step up, one step up, and then he had all of that experience. Now he becomes the general. Now he gives the orders. He becomes the leader, and everybody's obey to him. So similarly, to answer your question, is startup is that base, you know, where you start as a soldier, and then you grow, and then you grow, and then you become a leader, or a general in other case. So the qualities of leadership is very simple. You know, you gotta be able to keep your team together, keep them motivated. You know, you always gotta be the perfect examples to your people that what you say, that's what you do. In my words, our reputation is a big thing. Mm-hmm. Because your reputation is what speaks for yourself. So Bobby Kang sitting in front of you today has one reputation. Whatever he say, he does. No matter what happens. So that keeps people motivated to me, you know, as a team. They, believe it or not, right now I can count on my hand 450 or 600 people I have that if a bullet is coming for me, they will stand in front of it and take it. I always say this, back in the 60s or 70s, the mafia needed a gun to control people. I don't need a gun. I still control them, but in a positive way, not in a negative way. Because you gotta have that ability to do so. It's like an example. If one of my employees comes to me and he comes and joins my companies, if he stays 3 months, then he will stay forever. Because in those 3 months, if he passes all the tests, he will become the team, part of the team.
Well, talking about employees, it's no secret that every great business is built on good talent, on talented people, motivated people. How to approach the process of finding good talent and retaining it? And what would you advise to startups that are looking out for employees?
Okay, so, you know, it's a process. You know, it's a process of, you know, in American language, they call it hit and run.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like an example for what you're looking for somebody to what position and all that. First is not his qualification is not most important to me. When I interview somebody, or at the end the file comes to me and I want to meet the guy. Everybody I hire, I like to meet him just for 5 minutes. I will not interview, ask questions, but I like to have conversation. In the conversations, I can understand the whole scenario of that person I'm hiring. With the, you can show me a picture of somebody and I can tell their character, you know, just looking at their picture. That's the ability I have since I've been around. So, you know, the processes are very simple, but it's not just the qualification you look at. You look at the character of the person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like again I said, their biography, like how loyal they are, how many companies they skipped every 5 months or six
how
months.
How quickly.
Quickly. So it's a challenge, but it's not hard. Once you build the core team, then once you set up these examples, then you don't have to look for the talent. Talent will come to you. You will have a choice. Say, I hire him, or I hire her, or I hire somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's what happened. In the beginning, I had to work a little bit hard, but then I set up examples, and then I didn't have to look for people. People look for me.
So, Mr. Kang, the nature of startups is such that they have to deal with a lot of uncertainty on a daily basis, which makes it difficult to make business decisions and run operations. What would you advise startups in the steps that they can take to manage uncertainty in an effective manner?
Sure. First thing is first, you know, courage. Courage is a building block for all qualities in you. You know, that's the main source you have.
Mm-hmm.
All the other abilities are different, but the courage makes all of the other qualities you have. So my advice to them is be courageous, you know, be brave, don't give up. It's not gonna be easy. You know, it's gonna be a lot of hiccups. But, you know, second thing is awareness. Second thing is yourself being aware that what is coming. Very important, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to live in illusion or la-la land, we call it. You need to live in presence, and
mm-hmm.
you got to be aware of situations, what's going to come and what's happening. And once you are aware, it becomes easy for you to go through that situation because you prepare mentally. So these two things, if they follow, it will help. Be courageous, have courage, and, you know, just simplify a thing and be aware of it. And self-awareness is the main thing.
It has always been my opinion that one of the must-have qualities for entrepreneurs is knowing when to quit. When things go wrong, how do you know when's the right time to persevere? And how do you pinpoint the right time to move from one idea to another?
Very good, but my opinion is a little bit different.
Okay.
My opinion is I never quit. You know, it's like they say in America, they say it, you know, if you come after me with fists, I will come with the stick. If you have a stick, I'll come up back with the knife. If you have a knife, I'll come back with a gun. And if you have a gun, you better shoot me because I will keep coming back. You know, so my strategy is a little bit different. For example, I give you, you know,
mm-hmm.
like this a big test for me happened in Armenia. We done 60% of our construction of steel mill in Yarask on the border of Azerbaijan and Armenia.
Mm-hmm.
And they start shooting on us. The first bullet came, soon I entered the office and hit on the wall. The message were for me to run away, but I didn't. You know, so the question you had, if I am a businessman or I'm calculating to quit, right? But it's a test for me. So it depends on a situation to situation. You know, like when to quit, it's up to you. But me, I will never quit. I continue to fight and I will put the steel mill in Armenia and I will succeed, no matter what. I've been here since February. I did not go home since then. And I'm not going home till I finish my project. So I will advise them, you know, to evaluate and see if the project is worth doing it. Many challenges going to come. But my steel mill is going to be $1 billion net worth. This mill, in 4 years from now, it will be $1.21 billion net worth. Because my EBITDA be 50 million and they are trading 22 multipliers on it. So when I do that calculation, I'm not quitting. So for startups, you know, they, if they have an idea and it's not working out, do an evaluation,
mm-hmm.
thorough evaluation, but don't chicken out without doing everything you can to hit the rock bottom, you know. Don't leave any stone to be turned. Do all your investigation and then make a decision if you got to move on or you got to stay on the project. Make sense?
It does. Mr. Kang, how do you define innovation? The industries you work in, particularly cargo and steel manufacturing, are very traditional industries where businesses run in a very traditional manner. Are you able to innovate in any way in those industries?
Of course. See, the technology today is taking over a lot of stuff. You know, the old school way of doing things are going away. So it's innovating ideas that how we can make our systems better. In case of my steel manufacturing, how we can make automation, how we can bring in systems in place who can work on my quality of my product to be better, how we can implement systems which are available now to do the marketing, you know. So innovation is very important for this era to take the business to the next level. We did that on our trucking business, and we're doing it on our steel business, and we're doing it on our hospitality business also, and real estate,
mm-hmm.
you know. So innovation is very important, you know, and I say it all loud. I'm very fond of Armenian people, and I believe they're very innovative, like us, we Indians, you know. And I'm in a process of building a, you know, similar fashion, innovation, a lab where we'll bring all the top brains from India and top brains from Armenia, and we put something like this together, and they come up with different ideas. You know, we'll take fields like agriculture or defense or medical or, you know, social services or you know, buildings or something else.
So you're so, open to any industry?
Any industry, yes.
You're ready to take over anything?
Yes.
That's the real entrepreneurial attitude.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, if you don't try, you don't know. You know, sometimes I talk about ideas which are not even in my portfolio reach yet. But I say it to my brothers, you know, I say it, if I don't go there,
mm-hmm.
I will never know. So I try anything and everything. And that's why I'm here, to see new ideas, and something interests me, I will invest.
Yes, you conveyed a very important point. The best way to learn is by doing, and the best way of learning the ins and outs of any industry is by simply having a hands-on approach and just getting it in the industry and trying to do something. That's
Yes.
how you get the experience.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Yes.
Can you recall three of, or just like any failures that turned out to be your biggest business lesson?
Yes, many of them, I would say. When I was building my first steel factory, I would like to talk about my structure. I'm in business with my brothers and 52 cousins. So for my success story, biggest is that I have very good family support, and I'm spiritually very connected, and I have values, family values my father and my mother has given me. So, sorry, repeat the question. My chain of thought went somewhere else.
I was asking if you can recall any business failure that
Failures,
turned
okay.
out
Yes,
to be
yes,
the
yes.
biggest lesson
Yes,
for
yes.
you.
So I was going there. So the first steel factory we built, in 2009, I went to India. After 12 years in the US, I went to India. And I went to put a steel factory there. So there was an existing brand already there. I will not name their brand because, some legal things. And I went to them and I says, I want to build the factory, but I want to build your brand. So, it's easy for me to sell it out in the market because you already have done the branding. And we kind of work out, royalty program or something for you. So the guy came up with some terms which I didn't like, and I got off the table and I told him, I said, remember my name, I remember this face. One day you will come to my factory and you will ask me to make your product with my terms and conditions, not yours. And I left. I lost every month on that business. I was telling my cousins, I says, just put the product out on the market. I started my own brand. It's called Prabal TMT, which is the second famous brand in India right now, especially in northern India. We have that region dominant, very Punjab, Jammu Kashmir, the northern region of India. So I lost money every month. My cousin would tell me, oh, you lost 2 million, 3 million. I mean, in 1 year, we lost about $30 million. But I knew what I was doing. For everybody, it was a failure. Even my family started talking, oh, what you did, this is nonsense. We're losing money every day. But what the result came out of that is, so my calculation as a leader was that if I could take that $30 million and I do my brand advertisement or marketing, I could not done a better job what I done losing the money giving you a product. For example, just say if I'm a drug dealer, just say it, just pretend I am, right?
Okay.
So I want to get people hooked on my stuff. So I give them some to try, some to try, some to try. Second time I give them a little bit more. And third time
Come back to
they come, oh no, it's going to cost you money now, right? Because one pack is $20 now, because they become your customer. So that was my strategy. I was giving them the best product with the cheapest price so they can see my product. And they loved it. And after 1.5 years,
They got hooked.
they got hooked and they can't get rid of it now. So I charge them very well priced now. And that company is worth about $300-400 million now, and it's very profitable, it turned out to be, losing business. But my strategy was a little bit different than anybody knew.
Very innovative.
Yes, thank you.
Wrapping up our conversation, three pieces of wisdom from Mr. Kang for entrepreneurs.
No, I very well said earlier. I said, be courageous, be brave, don't be afraid of failure. Second is be aware. Self-awareness is very, very, very important. And I would advise them to have some time on meditation, you know, because the third thing is that will give you the sense of feelingness that what's going to happen. You can predict things, you can feel things. So I'll wrap up with these three things: is be brave, don't be afraid of anything. Second is be aware of yourself around you. And third is try a little meditation. It will help. It helped me for sure.
Mr. Kang, thank you for joining our podcast. It was a pleasure to talk to you, and your perseverance is very inspiring and admirable. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Likewise.